Tēnā koutou te whānau o Auckland Unitarians. Tēnā koutou ngā manihiri. Nau mai, haere mai. Haere mai ki te hui o te rā nei. Haere mai ki te kaupapa o te rā. Ko Rachel McIntosh tōko ingoa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā rā tātou katoa. Welcome all, church whānau and visitors, to this place of worship, virtual and physical, made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for 122 years. Welcome to those joining us remotely, to those here in the building, and to those who will watch the recording at a later time. My name is Rachel McIntosh, and I will be leading the service today. For those here in person, you are all invited to share a cup of tea or coffee with us after the service. It is our sacrament of hospitality. Today is the 23rd anniversary of my sister's death. I say this because I can't go past a 6th of August without reflecting on her life, on what we and she have missed from her not being alive any longer, which seems vast, and on that tiny blink of an eye in the great long arc of history that those 23 years represent. What great things have we achieved on this planet in those 23 years, or in the great arc of human history? What have we achieved in this community? What successes have we had? Let's hear what Unitarian Ralph Waldo Emerson has to say about what success is. What is success? To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the approbation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to give of oneself, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To have played and laughed with enthusiasm and sung with exaltation. To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. May the flame of this chalice ignite our wonder. May our wonder open our hearts, our minds, our spirits. May we be open to the possibility of building a beloved community through connection with people we don't yet know. May we act to form those connections that we may bring our gifts to others and accept the gifts that others bring to us, and so create the world we seek. I now invite you, if you wish, to say the words of the covenant of our congregation. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humankind and fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God. My talk this morning is called "We're Going to Sit at the Welcome Table." I met Clay 10 years ago at a residential training for community organising. The basis of the training was storytelling. At the opening, all participants were asked to tell stories about a time we had spoken truth to power. Clay's story was about taking the Anglican Bishop of Auckland to the Human Rights Commission for violation of the Human Rights Act because he refused to ordain a gay priest. My story was about standing up to a union leader who, to a largely but not totally white male audience, had used the phrase "dirty girls of the Philippines" to refer to migrant sex workers. I confronted him privately and told him I had been offended at his use of language that was imperialist, misogynist, and anti-worker. He went back to that audience and apologised, even though many of them had found his language perfectly acceptable. As all the people in the room told their stories, we began to see that all of us had not only identified injustices, but had also had moments of courage where we had spoken up. Some of our stories had had successful outcomes, many had not. Many of us had acted alone. All of our stories had promise. When one person shows courage in the face of injustice, that act holds the kernel of transformational change. In the training, we learned to tell stories in order to make connections. We learned that through hearing each other's stories, we would form relationships, and that by being organised, we could identify common themes in our stories, find a particular injustice that we could fight against together. In our Auckland Unitarian community, we have a story. We have stories. To take the themes from the verses of the hymn we have just sung, we have stories that come from each theme. Through our senses, we experience community together. We hear the music, the services and sermons, the things we share in joys and concerns, in our conversation groups and over morning tea. We see each other on screen or in person. We taste shared food. We hear our organ and see and feel our newly painted building and beautifully cleaned surroundings. Thank you, Paul. Through these experiences, our community is formed and sustained. Through our reason and our commitment to reason, our community is strengthened. We may take meaning from the story of the resurrection, or of Moses parting the Red Sea, or of the stories of Buddha or Muhammad, but no one is required to believe things that our reason tells us can't be so. There is no emperor with no clothes. There is no elephant in the room. We have no underlying fear that some received truth is actually hollow. Through our compassion, we care for each other and for others. We cared for each other during lockdown, cared as we could, meeting online and drawing in people from places beyond Auckland, many of whom are still here. Hi. Through our Peace and Social Justice Committee, we use our resources so that children at Glen Taylor School can have books to read and can go on camp, things that many people take for granted and that for many others are out of reach. We support a program for dyslexic, Tongan and Samoan children. Through our conscience, we identify injustice and act to combat it. Every year, we donate half our Christmas Eve offertory to Rainbow Youth, who work for justice and decent lives for young people in the queer community. We provided a place for the Polynesian Panthers in the 1970s to run homework clubs for Pacifica children living in this area. We joined the Living Wage Movement in 2014, and our craftivists have done political art to support the movement and influence decision makers to pay the living wage to more and more working people. We gave sanctuary to vulnerable Indian students, welcome back, Huffies, in 2017, recognising them as the most vulnerable group in an international system of the commodification of training and migrant workers. And then there is our vision. We have a vision of a world governed by love, not by violence. A world where justice shall roll down like waters. We have a vision of a planet transformed by our and everyone's care. We have a vision of a beloved community. We also have our story of right now. We have become aware through Clay's sermons this winter that the history of Unitarianism is a story of change and adaptation. We have confronted the need to move on from seven principles that felt immutable for those of us who feel eternity in our own brief blink of history. In fact, those principles were adopted by Unitarian Universalists less than 40 years ago. We have confronted the need to have a plan for when Clay retires. We have faced the tension of how to have a strong community that is not insular. We are bound by what we have in common and what is comfortable, and we know we need to be open to diverse people and to situations that may be uncomfortable. The kernel of the answer to these challenges is right here. We are already a welcoming people. We are already a member of the living wage movement. As Clay said last week, when we are generous, we also benefit. When we take the courage to form connections with people who are different from us, we thrive in ways that we can't foresee. We have also recently joined the Alliance Te Ohu Whakawhanaunga. Anyone who has worked in non-government organisations knows how precarious funding is. People working to improve their community spend huge amounts of time on funding applications from the council, from the ASB, from lotteries, and from various philanthropic charities. They can't plan more than a year out because most funding is annual. The philanthropic McKenzie family recognised this problem. They said that they wanted to invest a large sum of money in a long-term, far-reaching programme of social change, but that it should be coordinated. They didn't want to continue investing in many different but largely unconnected groups for short-term projects that were undoubtedly doing good, but weren't fundamentally changing our society. In response to this offer, Te Ohu Whakawhanaunga was formed. In fact, it is still forming. The name Te Ohu Whakawhanaunga was a gift from the Māori Women's Welfare League, which is one of the member organisations. I will pause here for a moment for a word study. Clay got us into the groove of these last week, and I know that secretly many of us love them. Also, then we'll all know what the name means. First, Te Ohu. According to Te Aka Māori Dictionary online, Te Ohu is a working bee, working party, volunteer workers, commune, cooperative, or collective enterprise. Whakawhanaunga is a word that can be broken down. Whaka is to make or transform oneself. Whanaunga is family or kin. So Te Ohu Whakawhanaunga is a collective voluntary enterprise to form family or community. Te Ohu Whakawhanaunga is a community alliance. At the moment it is based in Auckland, but the vision is to expand it around the country. And Te Ohu's vision is to build strong communities that work together for a better society. In the words of Susan Adams, a leader from one of Te Ohu's member organisations, we want a whole new public consensus on what we are prepared to accept as the quality of life for our children and those who are currently impoverished. Te Ohu so far has many member organisations from across community organisations, including Love Avondale, Migrant Action Trust, faith organisations, churches, etc., and unions. Through the kind of storytelling that I began this talk with, the Alliance has already identified three main themes to work on. But the organisers also work with all and any member organisations on their own particular issues. The three themes are housing, migrant, former refugee and asylum seekers issues, and decent work. One of the techniques Te Ohu uses is to identify who has the ability to deliver the kind of change the community seeks. In many cases, the people with that ability are politicians. Te Ohu is not party political and will deliver its message to and ask for action from any person in power who has the capacity to deliver change. In this spirit, Te Ohu has organised a launch event for early September to be held in Māngere. We have a slide for this. The leaders of both Labour and National have confirmed that they will attend alongside other party leaders. There will be music and food, and community members will tell their stories of what they are experiencing in the areas of housing, work, and migrant issues. The politicians will have an opportunity to answer questions about what they are committed to doing to solve the issues. They get advance notice of the questions they'll be asked. Because we are members now of Te Ohu, we are wanting a great contingent of Auckland Unitarians to attend. Betsy, who is online today, will be arranging carpooling, and we want to know in advance who will be coming. And please bring your friends and whānau. Let us go together to sit at that welcome table. Amen. Now it's time to extinguish the chalice, Ruby, if you would. Thank you. Please join me as we say the words. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Thanks, Ruby. Okay. So my closing words are a quote from an Australian Aboriginal woman called Lilla Watson, and it is this: if you have come here to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together. Okay, discussion group time. Groups of five or six, and are we good for breakout rooms, Ted? Yep, okay. So the question is, when have you spoken truth to power and how did it transform you?